verse 13. When Jesus came to the courts of Caesarea, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I am?" And they mentioned the prophets. Peter said, verse 16, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." "Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, Peter, but my Father which is in heaven. I say unto you," okay, "that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. What you loose on earth is loosed in heaven, but what you bind on earth is bound in heaven." Now, let's go to verse number 23. Verse 21. Jesus began to tell his disciples about his crucifixion and his destiny in Jerusalem. Verse 22. "And Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Lord, this shall not be unto you." Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Same chapter, four verses later. "Get thee behind me, Satan." Let's go to chapter 17. After 6 days, verse 1, "Clive, we don't see you anymore." After 6 days, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John and brings them into a high mountain, and he was transfigured in their presence. If I had a voice, I'd take longer, but I don't, so I'll be short for a few minutes, dealing with satanic reprisals. Dealing with satanic reprisals. Dealing with satanic reprisals. Did you have your phone, Tulani? Now, what happens is you have a summit leading towards a spiritual event. There are problems that you encounter because all kinds of demonic things are stirred up around you. Firstly, things that are related to you. So, appetites that you have spent a lifetime taking control of start showing up. I'm speaking from experience. The problem is that with me, I'm too honest. Things that you thought you had overcome start showing up. Familiar spirits. Things that are accustomed to the family tree start bothering you. Then things that are close to you in terms of social associations, starting with family, friends, and then others, start becoming under strain. Because Jesus is about to reveal himself. "Whom do men say that I am? Thou art the Christ." So when he reveals himself, it comes under a time of pressure. You have to read the preceding verses. After he reveals himself, now there has to be a demonic reprisal. John Wimber called it a spiritual backlash. It's a backlash. And what happens when you have a demonic backlash? If you watch that movie, The Lord of the Rings, when Gandalf is facing this beast, and as he moves it and it's going down into that chasm, it loses the whip. And just before it goes down, Gandalf doesn't expect the whip to grab him here and pull him with it. That's a reprisal. So whenever there is a major spiritual event, know this, there is going to be a demonic reprisal. Whenever you get a prophecy, I don't like people prophesying on me. Because that's just a remedy and a recipe for trouble. Thank you, Vincent. I don't care what anybody says about you. You are a good man. Is Carol here? Okay, good. And so when you're dealing with a demonic reprisal, there are some ground rules. Number one, if you are married, number one, this is if you are married, you love your wife, you love your husband. Because what the demonic reprisal does is it tries to bring a wedge there. I'm speaking from experience. Right there, to hurt that family where there is problems and tension, so that any prayer that you try to pray, according to Peter, is hindered. That's the first thing. So whenever there is a major spiritual event, make sure that you are, as married couples, tight. In a family unit, okay, where you have families that are together, remember this, that whenever there's going to be an increase of anointing, families tend to go crazy. There's always one in every family. Always one in every family. That's Penga. In some families, it's two. That things can be cool, going well, but there's always one. In Jacob's family, it was Simeon. Always speaking out of turn, always conniving, always the first. This individual in a family is called a demonic gateway. It's a gateway. They are the weakest link. They are the most susceptible to demonic spirits causing and inflicting pain. David had it. Abraham had it. Jesus had it. You'll have it. So we have to nurture the sick ones in the family, and they are there. The problem is that when you're dealing with family vulnerability, a lot of times the weak one will not acknowledge. They will not acknowledge. They will give you a hard time. So you have to be fervent in prayer. And sometimes the weak ones, it's not that they are verbose. In other words, it's not that they just express themselves and speak their mind. They do crazy things. They don't show up at home over the weekend. Where's this child? Ah, she's gone with some funny thing to a medium house. She's graduated from a small house. And the problem is with these kinds of individuals is that when the Spirit of God is moving, they are there. But let the reprisal come. The first one to open their mouth. Jesus, his greatest blessing was Peter. His greatest problem was Peter. His miracle and mistake at the same time. Here's a man that said, you are the Christ. He had revelation. But here's a man that stood in his way saying, you'll never fulfill the will of God. in the same day a revelation and a reprisal. The same thing happens in a church. We won't deal with the friendship level. We go to the church level because my time is limited. The same thing happens in a church amongst leaders. Whether it's choir, whether it's leadership, whether it's a congregation. The minute the Spirit of God begins to rise like we are feeling now, we now have to watch for the weakest link among leadership. I'm not saying this because I know something. I don't know anything yet. So we look for the weakest link amongst the leaders so that we can strengthen those. And it comes in all kinds of forms. It comes in a financial attack. It comes in a sexual attack or an addiction attack. Or it comes by outspoken words against leadership or vision to say things that you felt in your heart, but you couldn't say it under the anointing. You say it during the reprisal. This is true of your business. It's true of everything. The minute there is spiritual activity increasing there, watch your leadership. Because somebody there will sell your vision for 10% of what it's worth. Ask Judas. On the day of Pentecost, there were 3,000 that were saved. Judas paid the tithe of what he could have had, 300, for the vision. So you watch for that. So as we begin to increase, we're not just talking about a local church. We're talking about a national work or a citywide work. When the Spirit of God begins to rise in a city and the pastors and the churches start coming together, here comes the reprisal. There's somebody in the city that doesn't want it. It's not that they are not saved. It's not that they are not preachers. What it is, they become conduits and avenues for this renunciation of what the purpose of God is. So I have to ask myself the question, am I a demonic conduit when God is doing something in the nation or in the city? Am I hindering this church to going towards God's national or citywide program? Because I don't want to say, thou art the Christ at the summit. I'm preaching to me. And then after the summit, 2 weeks later, when there's a meeting called for us to do something corporately and nationally, no. I'm trying to get a dialing tone to speak to Jakes or something. And become a demonic conduit. Watch this now. The next thing you have to watch out for here, this is very important. You have to watch out for I would say, surprisingly in most lives, the rise of untamed appetites, physical appetites. Yeah, we're not talking about food, we're talking about weaknesses that are in the flesh, prone to lie, to steal, to cheat, to commit sexual sins. All of these things become weaknesses of the flesh. In this area, there are visitations from the spirit and demonic world that lash out with touches of witchcraft. It is at this time where you have to be fervent and strong in the Lord. Strong in the Lord. It's at this time when unusually, a strong world relative suddenly shows up at your house. With all their ningnings and nungungus, and their chanting, and their roots, and their potions. And you are even scared to eat at home. It's a reprisal. It's a reprisal. The second thing is, they become emotional attacks. The first thing is appetite, which is flesh. The second is emotional attacks. It is an attack on your act of will to make you double-minded. But also, the devil begins to mess with your emotions Because somebody that's close to you either gets very sick or there's a death. To destabilize your equilibrium as a believer. So that when you have received a promise from God, suddenly now you are going to question the promise because of an event that has been induced by satanic activity. You look at Job. He had a revelation of the blessing and the goodness of God. The reprisal was a demonic attack of unprecedented standards against him. He lost everything, his money, he lost his assets, he lost his children, all in a day, and his wife was going crazy. But Job maintained his integrity and trust in God because he recognized it was a demonic backlash. A number of years ago, George Glass Sr. shared a story with us. It was in 1980 in the month of November. I was in Texas. And he was sharing a story of how a very prominent man in that particular movement, a phenomenal preacher, had seen miracles, had preached all over the United States and different parts of the world. His son was killed in an unfortunate accident. That man said to his wife, after the funeral, he sent her away. He then opened his Bible. And he said to God, "Is this what I get for preaching the gospel? Is this what I get? God, is this the thanks I get from you for the sacrifices I have made?" He said, "If you are that kind of a God," took his Bible and threw it against the wall and said, "You can keep it all." A man like that is not worthy to preach because he doesn't understand reprisals. They will come. You are not exempt from it. They will come. Don't you dare question the integrity of God. Don't point a finger at your leaders. Don't speak ill of those around you. Mira! Stand and wait for the salvation of the Lord. The third thing is a spiritual attack. This comes to attack the life sources in your life. Firstly, it's your money, your assets, the life sources, the thing that provide life for you. Your car is in an unfortunate accident that destabilizes you. Your money suddenly gets funny. An unexpected bill. You know, a gearbox falls out. A relative from a father's daughter from nowhere shows up. All a bola bill hits you. A pregnancy that you didn't want to hear about from somewhere comes. Not your own, somebody else's. Hopefully. You lose your job. They tell you we are downsizing. And you were part of the downsized. A mother gets very sick and all of your wages and the bonuses go towards that hospital bill. It's an attack. It's an attack to destabilize you spiritually. Because when you are praying now, you are wondering, but where is the God that said he was going to bless me? I've been tithing. I've been giving. I've been believing. The man was preaching on open doors and mine are banging so loud and deaf, I have to go for healing now. It's a reprisal. Say that. Say that again. 1990 was a turnaround year for us. It started on the 12th of the 9th month of 1990. Early in the morning, Chichi pushed out a 4 kg child. TJ. The 12th is the foundation number of the kingdom. 9 is a birthing month. So when TJ was born that morning, he was born at 7 o'clock, the number of perfection. When that child was born, it was amazing because I'd been in all the birthing of our kids. But when TJ was born, when Chichi pushed him out, strong woman, when she pushed him out, He came out head and shoulders. And suddenly it hit me. Government has been born. Because in that year we started teaching apostolic government. It was a prophetic pregnancy. You know we can spiritualize these things. It was. Chichi was carrying in TJ our destiny. See what I'm saying? And we began to see some phenomenal things happen. It wasn't very long after that when Bernstein was born with a severe heart condition. And we were like, what is the deal with this? It was the pain. The pain is the fuel that keeps us fueling the government. Because there's nothing that will make you pray like your child sick. Nothing. So God knew that there was something that was needed, that was necessary for us to keep that thing fueled. And my parents can tell you stories, and others that have been in ministry can tell you stories. But you have to know what is a God-given and ordained situation and what is a demonic reprisal. A demonic reprisal is the child always is sick at 3 o'clock in the morning, Saturday morning. Sunday morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. When it's time for church, the child is always sick. That's not God, that's a demon. Slip on that snot and come to church. Don't stay at home. Your husband only goes mad Saturday nights. Every other night he's calm. But Saturday night he's going penga. Penga! The man is turning green. Because it's church tomorrow. Just cook the food Saturday night. Put it there. Give him a sleeping tablet. He'll wake up on Monday. Come to church. No, don't do that. Don't do that. I'm just... Sorry, Mom. I'm just saying. You know. You have to know what is demonic and what is not. If you are kids that come to church and your parents don't come to church, they are fine with you all along. Just come Saturday night and Sunday. You thought you were a Christian. That church, what are they teaching you at that church? If you have misbehaved, you deserve the punishment. But if you haven't, it's a reprisal. Closing with this. There are levels of reprisals, even to the point where the Spirit asks for your life. Peter, Satan has desired to have you and sift you like wheat. To sift like wheat means to separate the wheat from the chaff, which means to take away a portion of life. The second kind of demonic reprisal is not for your life, is to permanently and physically maim you. Maim you. There was a man in our church years ago. He started doing so well. His name was Lindsay Hussey. Many of you will remember Lindsay. Lindsay was doing, he started rising. He started coming up. Even there were possibilities of churches being started, one in Norton, and Lindsay was doing so well. He got a really great job. He was praying with the Kasesis. We missed Lindsay. For weeks we couldn't find Lindsay. Nobody knew where he was. Somebody then, by accident, after a month, this man was in a coma in the hospital. He had no ID. He was in a coma because he had made an accident. A car hit him on a motorcycle and his legs were cut off. I remember when I went to go and see him in hospital, I cried to see what happened on a demonic reprisal. In July 2004, Paul Swaby, the Bishop of Jabula, Venezuela, was killed in an accident. It was a demonic reprisal. There are times when the devil will maim you. He will try to inhibit you by having your hand amputated in an accident. Your eye taken out. One of my dad's spiritual sons in Bulayo, who has been doing well in ministry, has had all kinds of physical attacks. One attack, he was just cutting the grass, And a stone came and knocked his eye. He's lost his right eye. It's a demonic reprisal. They maim you. This is an amputation. Yeah, laugh. Yeah, Barry, laugh. Laugh, Barry, laugh, laugh. Amen. Then there is the mental pressure, which is even the worst. Because they wait over your bed. The minute you open your eyes, they are on you. They got a story. The story. Jeff. You want to go back to your Mbanjo? Smack boys, you are making me smoke. You want to go back to your old friend Jack Daniels? Because the pressure is hitting you. And then if you have a wife that's not disciplined, it's like lay the egg and get it over with. It's like, dear Lord. And then if you have people that are immature around you, they don't edify, they talk rubbish, they add to the fire. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's pressure. And these things are clusters on your head. It's a reprisal. It's a reprisal. You have to know these things. That's why you need covenant partners. You need a prayer life. You need to know your scriptures. You need to get up and say, it is written. I have a sound mind, not a mind of fear. But a sound mind. You need to know your word. They are going to attack you in your anointing. They are going to attack you in your anointing where the spirits convince you that you cannot feel anything. You can't feel anything. And you come to a prayer like this where people are praying. And the majahas are going. And you just there standing and you're wondering, am I saved or what? That sounds good. Amen. When the devil attacks your anointing to make you feel like you can't feel anything, that is probably the greatest moment of faith in your life. We walk by faith and not by emotions. Take your hand and say, in the name of Jesus. Every demonic reprisal, big and small, obvious and subtle, I take authority over you in Jesus' name.